You're listening to the weekend podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Well, for the last 5 weeks, I've been looking in a series called Riptide, just thinking about the pull of culture and how hard it is to stand against it. And when I first started laying this series out and thinking through it, this particular weekend, I was excited about, because someone here today, my prayer is that there's a revival of hope in you today. Something that you've given up on, something that you've wondered, Lord, where are you? How come you haven't answered my prayer? So we need something supernatural to happen in this room and in Edinburgh. I just believe the Lord is in that. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to our hearts. If we'll have ears to hear and a heart to respond. Amen? So God, we just pray that regardless of the week we've had or the distractions, Lord, may we zero in and focus on your word, because your word is active and alive. It's powerful. And may it set some free today. May it open some eyes and hearts and do the miraculous work, just the internal spiritual surgery that we need. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you to come in your power, in your mysterious ways, and do what only you can do. From my lips, Lord, to everyone's ears here, God, may you just plant the seed that needs to bear much fruit in us. This is what we pray today, and thank you for it. In the strong name of Jesus, everyone said, amen. Well, Daniel, we haven't been going exactly just chapter by chapter, but if you'll remember, the book starts when he's just a young teenager. And Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon, this empire that was to their east in Jerusalem, came and they sacked Jerusalem, as was prophesied by Jeremiah. And a lot of bloodshed, and the temple that was the seat of worship was destroyed, and the articles of the temple taken, and Daniel, his friends, and many others were taken basically as slaves against their will, and they were taken to learn the Babylonian ways. Well, today we're going to go to chapter 10. And in the 10th chapter, Daniel's no longer a teenager. It's thought that he's probably in his 80s. He's had an incredible life. He has longed for a return to Jerusalem. He has hoped for the rebuilding of the temple, and he hadn't seen it in his life. And yet now this is what he's hoping for. And he's instead given a vision from God, not of restitution, but more war, that it's not over yet. There's going to be actually more hard times. And what I want to take from this, because the Old Testament is given to us for a reason, not only the story, but and not only history, but it's history as prophecy. There's lessons to be learned. There's things that you can take from that and just say, you know, it's kind of like in our life. Daniel's at a place to where some of you have been, where it's like, I've been praying for decades and I'm not seeing any activity. In fact, it seems like even harder times are coming now. The very thing that I'd hoped for, it's not happening. And so Daniel, when he's given this vision, he does what he always did. And it's maybe our first point to really take from this story, is that he didn't pull back and get angry at God and say, how come you're doing this? But he leaned in more. In fact, he went on a 21-day fast. For 21 days, there was certain foods he wouldn't eat. He pulled back from all the fineries of Babylon that he enjoyed now. And he pulled back for 21 days and set himself to pray. It's a good lesson for us. When you don't see the things that you had hoped to see, do you pull back? Do you quit? Do you give up? And I find sometimes there's people in our ears kind of encouraging that kind of thing. Like, well, maybe it's just not meant to be. Well, you tried. He doesn't have this attitude. It's as if he's seeking, Lord, give me clarity. What am I missing here? Give me the patience. If there's something I got to do, then show me. But for 21 days, he seeks God. He fasts. We'll pick up the story in Daniel 10. This is what happens on the 21st day. And he said, I looked up and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and his legs gleam of burning bronze. Kind of like Gerald, I know, but close. It's an angelic being. Sorry. Goodness. And his voice was like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me didn't see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and they hid themselves. Did you catch that? He's the only one that sees this angelic being. But everyone, there's something about it even that made them afraid. Isn't it interesting that whenever God or an angel shows up, people aren't like, hey, it's my homie, high five. No, fear. Any part of us that sees any part of the otherness of God, our only response could be, I'm a sinful man. And there's fear and everyone's afraid and he can't even describe the beauty of this being. And indeed, this is a beautiful being, but it's not just that being's beauty. It's that that being is radiating the glory of God because he's been in the presence of God and he comes and God sends him. And it says in verse 8, so I was left alone gazing at this great vision. And notice, this is where he finds himself. And this is the part where, in some sense, you get. He said, I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. In part, he'd been fasting for a long time, for sure. But he finds himself in this place, and it's to this that I really want to address. Is that life is going to deal you some hands that will occasionally put you in a place, and not often, but maybe a season where you just say, like Daniel did, I was helpless. I had no strength left. I couldn't even stand. The story goes on, verse 9. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground, all the way to the ground. The strongest of men cannot stand in the glory of God, in the presence of God. In fact, the word glory, it literally means the weight of God. And oftentimes you see people experience just a taste, just a glimpse of the glory of God. And we forget about this and we forget about the majesty and how awesome he is. But there's something about this. And in my spiritual journey, there's been a handful of times where I've experienced something of this in prayer. Maybe it's been at the end or in the middle of a long journey in a battle of some kind, where suddenly it's just in some small way, the heavens opened. And if you try and explain it to others, they don't get it and they think you're weird. But some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Where there was just something of the presence of God, and it's like you couldn't move. And there was just something supernatural over your natural. There was something greater than you. And sometimes that came around a calling in your life. Sometimes that came around a hope and a promise that God was going to deliver you. Sometimes it may have happened when you were both simultaneously grieved over the weight of your sin and yet amazed at the splendor of his grace. And it's caused you just to fall. You've got nothing to say. You can't even utter a word. And what I love in verse 10, it doesn't leave him there. This being, it says, a hand touched me. And he set me trembling on my hands and knees. I just love that this being from God came and didn't rebuke him, didn't correct him, didn't tell him all the things he was doing wrong, but a hand touched him. And maybe the first takeaway and the first point that we need to get today is that God is both awesome and tender. Awesome in its true word, not awesome like you got a new cheeseburger. We use the word awesome for everything, even for football teams in Dallas. I don't know. We throw this word around as if it means anything and everything could be awesome. Listen, the real word is great. It's far greater than any human understanding. God, we've got to remember this. Because on one hand, he is tender. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's near me and he comforts me when I'm down. But friends, We can never forget, he's God. He spoke the world into existence. The Bible says the earth is his footstool. People wonder sometimes, remember one time I was with a group of young people and we were talking about heaven and what it's gonna be like. And I could kind of see them bummed out, like, oh man, I hope it doesn't happen before I get my driver's license, kiss a girl, whatever. They're like, okay, what are we gonna do up there? Do we get to water ski on the Crystal Sea? What do we get to do? And they're talking about, oh, it's like an eternity long church service. And it's like, well, it's okay. It's better than the other option. And they're just kind of doing this, oh, heaven, okay. And suddenly I was like, he's going to be there. There's no sun there. His brightness, his glory. You've never seen anything like that. There's nothing man-made about it. It's God-made. He's awesome. He's altogether different and lovely. His character, his beauty is something to behold. And in that moment, we will all fall in both terror and in the grips of love at the same moment when we experience the awesomeness of God. I don't have the words to explain it. I only hope that somehow we wake out of our stupor of religion that just has shrunk down God into a convenient take-home size God. He's nothing of the sort. He's awesome. He's altogether great and lovely. Daniel sees just an angelic being. We don't know who this being is. Theologians disagree, but we don't know. It doesn't say. But there's some being from heaven. And just in his presence, he can't move. There's an awesomeness to God. And again, I remind you that he's not just awesome, but he's tender. He's a God who sees Daniel and has compassion, has seen his life. And sometimes you hear people say, well, be glad I'm not God. Believe me, we are glad you're not God. And be glad I'm not God either. I'd be doing that thing all the time where I'd be snuffing people out. I mean, we're not God because our character couldn't handle it. But he is both awesome and tender. And the hand, it touched him. Some of you have experienced something of this where you deserved a swift backhand from heaven. Instead, you were somehow overwhelmed by amazing grace. And you got a sense of it. And there was something of compassion and care and tenderness that you have never forgotten. And you had an awareness that you are precious to God, you're valuable to God, that he loves you and he cares for you. Look what it says in verse 11. And he said, the being said, Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I now have been sent to you. And when he said these things to me, I stood up trembling. He gave him the power. Go ahead, stand up. He's awesome, he's tender, but not just that, and we're about to see this, but another truth that we're gonna get out of this, God is active in ways that you cannot see. And this is the point today. There's things happening in the spirit realm. And for some, they think, oh, I don't know, that's kind of weird. It's not weird at all. You say, well, that seems kind of unreal. Let me tell you, that's the most real thing. What's happening sometimes over a life, over a home, over a city, over an area. And God is active in ways, and the pull of the culture doesn't want you to see this. The pull of the culture wants you to instead not see a God that's active, but instead be frustrated when he's not on demand, when it's not instantaneous, when he doesn't do everything exactly the way you want. We are so impatient. You watch some people, you know, and you're wondering, oh, who was that person in that movie? And you look it up on your phone. I mean, some people are like, do this in like 4 seconds. And if it takes seven, they're like, oh, everything's so slow. You know exactly what I mean. We are so impatient, and our smartphones have made us dumb. Anyway, I digress. Next verse. And then he said, Daniel, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day, when? Since the first day. I mean, Daniel for 21 days has prayed. So that means he got to day 6 and there was nothing and he prayed again. And then he got to eventually day 15, there was nothing and yet he prayed again. And he got to day 21, and now this being comes and tells him, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. I heard you. I listened. God heard this, and I have come in response to them. But the prince, and this is where it gets weird. This is where it's like, whoa, 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 what's this? But the prince of the Persian kingdom, talking about principalities and powers of darkness, resisted me, how long? 21 days. How long did Daniel pray? 21 days. And then Michael, the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to, there was a spiritual battle that was going on. Daniel had no idea. He just thinks, God's not listening. Just keep praying. 21 days. Now this is hard for us to grasp. I don't know why it is. We understand this military concept that there was a struggle. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darknesses. There's things going on that we can't see. And what we have to remember, that just because we don't always see it doesn't mean there's not a battle going on. In other words, what you see with your eyes is not all that there is. Don't ever believe it only in the physical realm. In the spiritual realm, there's other things happening that we can't always understand or see, but God is active. And for those who've been praying for so long and you're wondering, is it worth it? Why even bother? God isn't listening. I can't see his activity here. He's not going to do it. Must not be his will. I remind you of this passage where history is prophecy for your life. From the first time you prayed, the word of the Lord today for you is God heard your cry. God heard your prayer. God didn't turn a deaf ear to you. He wasn't busy over here taking care of something for someone else. God heard the first time you asked for healing, God heard your prayer. The first time you begged God to do a miracle, the first time you asked for the relationship to be restored, God heard your prayer. He doesn't always give us exactly what we want when we want, and I don't understand why. Who can understand the ways and the mysteries of God? Sometimes there's power in waiting. There's power in the trust of being obedient and continuing to be faithful. Daniel didn't give up on day 19. Kept praying. He kept hoping. He kept believing. Daniel prayed, and then he continued to pray. And what did he see? Nothing. But the truth is this. Just because he didn't see anything didn't mean that God wasn't doing something. God was doing something. God was active in ways that he couldn't see. And for you friends, the first time you cried out to God, he released angelic beings. They're doing warfare for you in a way that you don't understand. There's things happening. He is an active God. He's not old and tired, and he's like, I'm sitting down, I don't really want to get up. There's no searching in his understanding. His arms are not weak. His legs don't grow weak. He is all powerful. He is mighty. He's awesome. He's active in your prayers. He's aware of your needs. Don't you grow weary of well-doing. You keep asking. 21 days, Daniel saw nothing, but there's a battle that's raging in the heavens. Just because you don't see something doesn't mean that God's not doing something. Another truth is this. This is a truth of the New Testament and throughout, but God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul taught this principle. This is the exact opposite. Our culture, talk about riptide and the pull of culture. This is the opposite of what our culture never wants to admit weakness. Never wants us to think that we're weak in some way. Never wants us to somehow, but Christ comes along in the New Testament and Paul writes about it, and they describe a very different angle. And they just teach the way up is down. You want to save your life? Lose your life. You want to follow hard after Christ? Take up your cross. It's not a piece of jewelry. It was an instrument of death. Die to yourself, and as you die, he lives. That it's through my weakness that he becomes strong. It's the exact opposite of what we think and our culture teaches. Strength is strength. No, even if you've been blessed, even if you've been favored, even if there's things on your life, regularly we kneel before God. We lower ourselves before God. And it's in lowering ourselves and being mindful and being humble that God raises us up. Are you hearing me today? And some of you, maybe you've come to a place where it's like, I'm done. I'm at the end of my rope. I have no strength left. Can I tell you, you might be just standing on holy ground right now. It feels the exact opposite. You're frustrated and you're tired and you're weary. You're giving up hope. But maybe you're at a place right now where God says, I brought you to this place because you'll never understand my strength until you come to the end of your strength. And you're coming to the end. Until we fully embrace weakness, we will never appreciate or experience his strength. Until you've come to that place where you've said, I've prayed, I don't have any more faith. I've said it every way I know to say it. I physically have no more strength. I'm at the end of myself. That's when his power becomes real. Let's look at what happened in Daniel verse 17. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. You get a sense here, Daniel's saying, I've never been this out of... I mean, we read about Daniel in the lion's den. We know he kind of had power through that. He's an older man. He's been praying for decades now, and he's saying, "How?" Some of you get this. You say, my strength is gone. I've been hanging on to this marriage. I've been hanging on to these kids that are wayward. I've been fighting for this. Financially, I've been fighting. My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe. But look what happens. Verse 18. And again, the one that looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. He touched me and he gave me strength. And he said, don't be afraid. You who are highly esteemed, he said, peace. Be strong now, be strong. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. Look, the verse before, he was saying, I am weak, I can't even speak. The Lord touched him and I was strengthened. Speak, my Lord, since you've given me strength. And the story goes on from there of how Daniel was able to still lead and still be what God called him to do. But the point of the story is this, he came to the end of himself. He was frustrated, he was tired, and even though this angelic being is before him, he's thinking, I don't know. But this verse reminds us what one touch can do from the Lord. That's why it's so important to be faithful, so important to put yourself in an environment like this, so important, ladies, to be here at Splendor in 2 weeks, because there's an appointment for you where something could happen in a morning session during some song. You've had it happen before where it's not just normal. You thought it was just another day. You thought, oh, I like that song. But something happens where you get touched in a way supernaturally. It's like your tank just suddenly hit full. You're like, I can't plan that. I can't program that. But you put yourself in the place. Daniel fasted for 21 days. He was there. Although he was seemingly out of hope, he put himself, one touch, your faith is restored. One touch, and you're believing God for that thing that you had stopped believing him for. One touch, it's enough to keep you going. I don't get it. There's sometimes you pray in the mornings, you pray in the evenings, you seek the Lord, and it's like your prayers don't even reach the ceiling. It just feels, but you're just doing it. You're just doing it. But then there's times. You know what I'm talking about. You sit down and you read and suddenly it's like the words jump off a page. You sit down and you pray to God. It's like the heavens open and there's something powerful. The key is just to be faithful, to keep pursuing, keep seeking him. Don't grow weary of it. Don't give up. Keep pressing in, leaning in. You keep standing in the faith because from the first time you prayed, God heard your prayer. And he's released angelic forces on your behalf. He may do exactly what you're asking for. He may do something different, but in some way you will know that God has been active. There's a purpose, a higher purpose, some things we won't know till we get to heaven. But he will give you the confidence and the trust to get through that storm. And just because you don't see something doesn't mean he's not doing something. As I close, I just want to press in even harder on this. Some of you are losing heart. I hate that line. You're losing heart. Our dog, he's kind of a worthless animal. You get home, he's so happy, tail's wagging. It's like he smiles and says, "You're the boss." But then when I pull out the luggage and I travel, his head, his ears, they go down. One time I went into the closet to get some clothes and my luggage was sitting there, and I come back in to put them in and my dog is inside the luggage. I kick him out of there. I said, "Get out of here. You've never seen a dog move more slowly." He lost heart. I tell that because it's funny. And some of you are here today and you're like, "I didn't come to hear something cute or funny. I've lost heart. I'm just wondering, does God have anything to say to me?" I want you to know he does. He is the glory and the lifter of your head. He gives you a reason for joy when there seems to be no reason for joy. He can change your countenance in the middle of a storm, give you peace that surpasses understanding in ways that just blow your mind. And the environment doesn't always change, but what changes is you. You change. And some of you are losing heart. And you're just about at that place to stop calling out to God. You're saying, "You know what? It's just not worth it. Nothing's coming my way." And scripture teaches you just keep praying. You keep pursuing. You have a God who cares, who knows everything about you. And you pray, "God, I must admit, I'm just losing heart over this employment situation. I wish I could be bigger about it, but I'm not. I'm losing heart. Those kids, they're seemingly growing further and further away. Those siblings, those family members, they make worse decisions, it seems like, the more I pray. It's my marriage, it's my health, and you're wondering, is this solvable? Do I have to live like this the rest of my life?" And you're wondering. Friends, talk to God about it. Don't you grow weary. You keep talking to God about it. You keep asking him because you matter to him. You are precious to him. Whatever it is, don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you lose heart. Don't cave in. Don't hold your shoulders down. Stand up tall, for you are a child of God, and he knows everything about you, and he loves you. Yes, sir. You don't know when the answer's coming. The answer may come this Thursday. You might be five prayers away from the biggest breakthrough you've ever seen. Why not act like it? Why not pray that way today? May faith rise. May faith rise in spite of what we see. May faith rise in spite of fear and doubts. May faith rise. What is that situation? Who's that person? And you're like, "They're not changing. They're never going to change. They're never going to." You're speaking in terms of human understanding. What about a great big God? You have no idea what he can do. Don't you limit him. Anything's possible for him. There is no limit or to his understanding. Oh, don't you quit. Don't you walk around like this. You stand up. You're a child of God. There's still hope, amen. Would you stand together, both here in Edinburgh?
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.